The next case this morning is number 07-1656, the United States of America against Ralph Diaz.
May it please the Court, my name is Helen Kim and I represent the appellant in this case. Mr. Diaz filed this appeal because the district court committed an error when it sentenced him. It used a presumption in favor of the guidelines. The strongest evidence in the record of this presumption is when the district court said, "I do not think the difference warrants any deviation from the guidelines." But you couple that with just moments earlier, the district court saying, "I do find the guidelines is reasonable here." We learned 5 months after Mr. Diaz was sentenced through RITA that reasonableness is a review standard for the appellate courts. We learned that the presumption that the guidelines are favorable, or any presumption in favor of the guidelines, should not be used by the sentencing courts. As this court noted in Ross, which was also decided after RITA and after Mr. Diaz's sentence, there was tension and uncertainty among the courts as to whether or not there was a presumption that should be used. RITA answered that question definitively. The courts at the sentencing level should not be employing any presumption. In Ross, this case granted a remand and a new sentencing to the defendant. The same should be true for Mr. Diaz. Though we think that the record is clear, at the very least, this court must find that there is ambiguity by the district court's statement. The district court failed to address the substantive arguments that were made by Mr. Diaz as to why a non-guideline sentence should be imposed. It completely failed to address his role argument that dealt with the seriousness of the offense. But it also said that it wasn't sure if it could even consider the other arguments that were made regarding the jail conditions. We have no way of knowing what the district court would have done or how it would have sentenced Mr. Diaz if the presumption had been dislodged, if the court started from where it should have, which was after calculating the guidelines properly, which it did, then looking instead to 3553 and doing a comparison of the arguments to those factors there. On the basis of that, we are asking for a remand and we're asking for a new sentencing.
Thank you, Ms. Kim. We'll hear now from Ms. Murray.
May it please the Court, Maureen Marin on behalf of the United States. When this court examines the entire record of the sentencing hearing, it's clear that the district court did exactly what 18 U.S.C. 3553 and United States versus RITA and this court's jurisprudence requires of the court. The entire record indicates that not only did she sentence the defendant properly, but she provided sufficient reasons for imposing that sentence. The record indicates that first, the district court acknowledged that the advisory guidelines were going to be adopted. She acknowledged that the guidelines were advisory. She heard the defendant's arguments as to the 3553 factors, and then she provided a reasoned basis for her decision. And that reasoned basis is clear on pages 14 and 15 of the sentencing transcript, where she addresses each of the defendant's reasons provided in turn. She began with an acknowledgement that the guidelines were advisory. After considering the defendant's arguments in favor of mitigation, she found that the guideline sentences was reasonable here, not simply that the guidelines themselves were reasonable, but that in this case, the guidelines were reasonable. Then she considered the defendant's argument with respects to the conditions at Kankakee and concluded that that argument didn't warrant any deviation from a range that she had already found to be reasonable. This court has looked, traditionally in examining sentencing hearings, at the whole record, not at a single word that a judge might have used in that argument. There are no magic words in sentencing. For example, in United States versus Dale, which was decided after RITA, the judge used the word departure. But this court looked at the whole record and saw that the judge acknowledged through the whole record that the guidelines were advisory. This is distinct from United States versus Ross, in which this court again looked at the entire record and saw that the judge said things that she must acquiesce to Congress's judgment and indicated that she didn't feel she could depart from the guidelines. This case, because the judge acknowledged that the guidelines were advisory, she examined the factors and found explicitly that the guideline sentence was reasonable here. It's certainly closer to Dale than it is to Ross. Finally, at the end of the sentencing, the court said she found specifically that in this case, the low end of the guidelines would satisfy and address the 3553 factors that she had already heard and considered. With respect to the sufficiency of the reasons, an argument that defendant raised in its reply brief, Rita requires that the judge give this court enough to indicate that it has considered the arguments of the defendant and provided a reasoned basis for the decision. In this case, looking at pages 14 and 15 of the sentencing transcript, the judge addressed each and every of the defendant's arguments. She addressed and acknowledged the defendant's personal circumstances. She discussed the seriousness of the offense and the effects of putting drugs on the streets of Chicago. And she considered defendant's argument with respect to Kankakee. She said, even considering defendant's argument with respect to Kankakee, she did not find that it warranted a deviation. She didn't find that there was sufficient evidence presented as to the psychological and physical conditions of the defendant to warrant consideration. In this case, the sentencing judge did not brush by the arguments of defendant, but address each and every one of them in turn and clearly. For those reasons, we ask that you affirm the judgment and sentence of the district court.
Thank you, Ms. Marin. How much time does Ms. Kim have?
Your Honors, respectfully, I would disagree that the district court addressed each and every argument. When the government just referred to the transcript, pages 14 through 16, my review of that transcript shows that, in fact, the court mentioned some factors under 3553, but failed to address completely, again, one of the main substantive arguments that Mr. Diaz made about the fact that he was a broker in this transaction, that he was going to receive $1,000, that this was a CI with whom he had done 100-gram deals 2 to 3 times in the past, and yet this CI was now asking for 3 kilograms of cocaine to be given to him. That was the argument that was made related to the seriousness of the offense and the role that Mr. Diaz played. The court completely skipped over that argument. And I believe that there was at least some reasonableness to that argument. It was certainly non-frivolous. And when the court instead made an argument about the seriousness of the crime, it said 3 kilograms is a significant amount. That may be true, but again, that wasn't the argument made by Mr. Diaz. The other argument about his family circumstances, certainly the court did address. But as we put in our briefs, the question is whether the court was welded to the presumption. And the record makes clear, not just from a single word, not just from looking at the word deviation, but looking at the context of two things. First, the court saying, I find the guidelines reasonable, and I don't believe that it warrants deviation. But also in the procedural history of the fact that Rita was only decided 5 months later. Those two things together are the reason that this court can look at the record and from the record see that the district court was erroneously using a presumption in favor of the guidelines.
The judge's concluding statement was, I believe the low end of the guideline range is appropriate and will satisfy and address the factors in Section 3553A that I have just reviewed.
I am aware.
Doesn't that conclusively resolve the argument about whether she was applying a presumption? It's clear from that statement that she was not.
Again, I believe that the problem is that the court failed to address the substantive non-frivolous arguments that we made for why a guideline sentence shouldn't be imposed, failing to address it completely as to one, and saying that it wasn't sure if it can consider the other. And then it talked about deviation from the guidelines during a time and relatively unstable period where it was unclear whether or not the guidelines should be presumptively reasonable. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kim. Indeed, our thanks to both counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.